Hey, welcome to Her Talks, where I talk about everything business blended and black. I interview entrepreneurs that are on the cusp of new and exciting information and businesses. I talk to my kids about what it's like growing up in a blended family and all the different things that they're learning and growing. I call that Black Boy Joy because I have four boys. I'm also a stepmother. So that all goes into the blended and black. It's just who I am. I identify as a black woman and I'm living in the South. And I like to talk about things that are relevant to what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing, while emphasizing social justice and self-care. Let's take a listen to this week's episode.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you find yourself. This is another episode of Her Talks. I am your wellness coach and advocate, Renee N. Smith, and we're going to talk about everything business blended and black today. I want to talk about parenting, motherhood. I can talk a little bit about fatherhood. Parenthood, one of the hardest hoods you may ever find yourself in. The deeper I get into parenting, now that I have teenagers, which is crazy for me to think about, because I started young. I was in my early 20s when I had my son, and I was mid-20s when I met, well, not met, but married my husband. Me and him had known each other for years, who also had a young son that was near the same age as mine. And we started raising these two boys together. And I just think about how young we were during that time frame, the stuff that we didn't know, that we just didn't know, right? But as I start to really dive into parenting, really dive into who I thought I would be as a mother and who I actually became as a mother, it had me think about who my mother was as a mother to me and who her mother was as a mother to her. And what I don't always think about when we're younger, or at least I didn't think about, is who was my mother as a child? Who was my mother as a teenager? Who was my mother as a woman before she became a mother? I think history is important. I know there's a lot of conversations around a mother wound and different things of that nature. And I'm not saying it's not real. I do think our parents can wound us intentionally and unintentionally. And it doesn't matter the actual, you know, intention behind it. The harm was done. But I do think it's incredibly important for us to start to figure out, as adults especially, how can I heal from something that may be hindering me from living my best life? Because what happened to you more than likely has adversely affected you. But at the same time, what can we do so that the years ahead of us are not stolen from us by it sinking back into the past? It's difficult. It's difficult for things not to trigger you. I say this a few times on the podcast that I am a child. I'm an adult child of divorce. I was graduating college when my parents decided to finally separate and divorce. But as most people know, the death of a marriage is not the day that the papers are signed, but it's usually years before that. And if I had to think about it, I think probably 4 years prior is when the death of the marriage actually came. And that's when I saw like the demise, like really, really taking place. And it's funny because even though I knew that, I know that it still affected me as an adult. And I couldn't imagine going through it as a child. Like, even though I knew that my parents probably should not be together, like there was evidence, I still was shocked when it actually ended, because there were so many times that it was talked about, you know, oh, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. But when it finally happened, it hit me in a way that I wasn't expecting. I think every kid wants their parents to be together, even as an adult. Like, you want, like, oh, you know, because it's comforting. You don't know what the unknown will bring. It actually brought a lot more peace into the household, honestly. But as I start to think about like how my mom moved as a married mother and into single motherhood as a divorced woman, I start to really understand more of who she was as a person. Like, because I was an adult then, like the conversations and stuff that we had were very much different. And I just, I just think as mothers in general, the stakes and the expectations are so high because normally they are the default parent. And so when that occurs, there's also a loss of income and safety that comes with divorce or just single motherhood in general. I was a single mother. I was not married to my son's father. And I had a degree in different things, but I also graduated during the Great Recession. And so there wasn't a lot of jobs being handed out, especially for a sociology major. I had planned my life out. I was supposed to do undergrad as a sociology major, go straight into my master's program with social work. And my life was just on easy street. I knew I was going to be doing therapy. Like I had it planned out. I knew when I was a senior in high school what my life was going to look like. Now, that was several years before it actually happened. But anyway, back on track. When you start to think about mothering, you start to think about how you were mothered, you know, there are certain aspects and there are certain qualities and things that you probably needed as a child that you may and may not have received. And so this conversation is about those who did not receive what you felt like you deserved and you felt like you needed. There is a time where you can mourn your childhood. You can mourn your childhood really for the rest of your life if you so choose. But I think it's important to mourn the childhood that you had if it wasn't what you felt like you deserved or what you wanted, and then begin to figure out how do I heal that portion of me? Because it'll get triggered every single time. What I didn't realize is for those who have that wound, mothering can be the ultimate trigger. And when I say that, I have a few examples of women that I know where they did not have a good mother-daughter relationship with their mother. And when their daughter became a certain age or things happened, it triggered something in that relationship that never healed from the mother-grandmother relationship. And it was surprising. It was shocking because you think like, oh, I got this down, you know, and then something happens and it triggers something because it reminds you of a wound that you got around that same age or what was said to you at this certain stage. It's almost like a mother who has lost a child. You never forget as a pregnant mother who's lost a child, you never forget your expected due date. You don't forget the day that you found out that you were pregnant. When those dates roll around, even if it's just subconsciously, there will be some outward effects sometimes of those dates to you because it's a trigger for you. I remember when I lost my baby, man, for 3 or 4 years, every time around a certain time in July when I was supposed to have this child, I would be angry. I would be so annoyed and angry. And it took me 3 years to realize, girl, you're grieving, right? Well, the same thing can happen with various triggers in our own lives. If something happened to you at a certain age that was negative, it can trigger you when you see that same thing happening, your child turning a certain age without us actually knowing it. So sometimes it's good to be introspective and retrospective when we think about the lives that we currently have. And so I just want to offer that to you. Get with somebody. You know, I believe in therapy. I have a therapist. I am a therapist. I believe like it takes going through and working through the hard stuff with somebody that's not a family member or a friend, because family members and friends, sometimes they have a great stake in who you are. They love you. And sometimes it'll be hard for them to tell you the absolute truth. But if you find a good therapist that can sit with you in the midst of why you're trying to figure it out, I think it'd be very, very beneficial. And I say this as somebody who did it, right? As somebody who went through different relationships and went through different things, there was a wound that was there in me that triggered in every one of my relationships. Oh, you're not going to do me any type of way because, you know, I know how these men work and move and do all this stuff. And so, but that came from seeing my parents' marriage dissolve and see what happened to my mother on the other side of that, where, you know, you had two incomes, now you have one income, and just the inequity of how parenting decisions were placed on her and financial decisions were placed on her and just different things from a person who I highly respected and regarded. I was a daddy's girl. And so to see things shift and change and maneuver in that way, I was like, oh, baby, you're not finna get me. But that's a trigger. That's a negative response because none of the men I dated were my father, right? None of these men were my father. They may have had traits of my father in them, but they're not my father. So going through therapy, knowing that, and being able to work through some of the things that I had put up, the barriers I put up in my own mind, was imperative to healing that wound, the wound of hyper independence. You're not finna get me. And just the wound of anticipated shame. I don't know if anybody has that. It was like, I don't want anything like this to happen to me because I don't want to feel embarrassed, or I don't want to feel shameful. I am the last person. I hate being embarrassed. I get secondhand embarrassment watching people go through things. I'm like, babe, I do not want that. I want you to begin to sit with some of these things. Sit with who you thought you were going to be. Sit with who you are. Sit with who you want to be. Is there a wound from a parent? Is there a wound that happened from a teacher? Somebody said something to you that, you know, still lives with you. Somebody said you weren't going to be anything. Somebody said you're going to be just like so-and-so who's no good. Is that still the tape that's playing in your mind? Is that something that you are unconsciously believing about yourself, about your present, about your future? We have to start taking command of the curses that were put over us from other people, whether they did it intentionally or not. One of the things that I worked really hard on for my own children, especially my son, that I had as a single mother, was that people were not going to put certain stereotypes or figures, stats, whatever, over my child, because I'm like, not my kid, right? I think everybody says that. But I was very, very intentional about making sure that I put good stuff over him while I was pregnant, while he was still really little, like as he was growing up. I didn't say negative things about the other parent around him, in front of him, in earshot of him, any of that stuff. Like if I had to go vent, maybe I had to go somewhere else. I had to go somewhere else where my child was not. Because this is his parent. Like, I'm not going to sit there and say something crazy. And even as things started to unravel and reveal themselves in that relationship, I just sat with him in it, got him into counseling, got him to talk to somebody about how he was feeling. That, again, is unbiased. That has nothing to do with me, right? That is not a family member or whatever that can, you know, try to sway his decision about who this parent is in his life. I didn't do any of that. Was it difficult? Absolutely. Because I wanted to protect my son. I want to be like, pack up your toys and let's go. But I also know that sometimes things have to play out and you have to do it in a safe manner, in a safe way. You got to know what works for you and your family, for you and your child. But for me, that's how I chose to do it. Now, sometimes I think I may have let it play out a little too long because the revelation was definitely there. Probably early elementary. But I let things play out the way they played out, and they played out exactly how I thought, which was unfortunate because I honestly didn't want it to play out the way that it played out. But the fact that he had so much support, and the fact that I was not on team, like, he ain't no good, you know what I'm saying? I think it really made it a lot more easy for my son to accept certain things, right? Sometimes in life we want closure. And what I told my son is, most of the time, closure is an illusion, because you have this idea, if I just have this conversation, if I just say this and then this happens, I'll feel better. But a lot of times that's not even the case, or the person may have already passed away. Or the person's not interested in talking to you. So you may never get the actual closure that you want, but you can still get closure. How you choose to end that version of self, that version of that relationship, is up to you. And I think it's important to start to think about that. Like, how do I begin to heal and have closure over situations that the person will never say they're sorry for? The person may have already passed away. The person may have said sorry years ago, but you didn't accept the apology. I mean, there's so many different levels to this. How do you move forward? Like I said, I believe in therapy. I know a lot of people are journaling and diving in deep. I think that's great too. If you find yourself overwhelmed, I think writing this out with a mental health professional is the absolute goat. That's the best way to do it. For me, that's what helped me a lot. But I know there's some barriers to getting in. Sometimes there's a barrier of there's a wait list or there's a money issue. There are some foundations that will pay for therapy. I'm going to put that in the show notes as well. So I want to encourage people to apply for all that you can. Do not feel ashamed or anything of that nature. Like, get therapy. And if somebody will pay for it, get free therapy. I do think that it'll help. So I'm going to put those in the show notes. As you think about your mother wound, your father wound, as you think about who you are as a parent or a godparent or a rich auntie, whatever level you are with children, think about how you are affecting their lives and how they will see themselves and how they may parent their own children. And just be cognizant of that. Be cognizant of the areas in which you find yourself unhealed. And if you're unsure, sit with yourself for just a few moments and think about some of the things that have triggered you in the past, some of the things that still make you angry. Sit with that and see if you want to work through it. Thank you for taking 15 minutes out your day to listen to me. See y'all next time.